The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're not done talking about the Bears. We got to talk about their culture in their locker room.
There's textures saying this is generational, that the behavior is generational. Sounds like Shane in our pre-show chat.
God, Shane just went in.
Oh, so someone validated what I said? We talk about, like, you guys want me to start yelling, get off my lawn? Well, 32 don't own a home, so get off of my shared dog run outside my building.
Okay.
Get off of that shared dog run.
Shane is fired up.
I know what I see. Lawrence, you might have different experiences with Gen Z kids at DePaul.
I love them.
I think they are lazy as trash.
I do not.
I'm sorry. I've had different experiences. I think they want everything handed to them. They don't know how to work. The inability to learn how to speak to each other.
We now return to the thrilling conclusion of Gen Z Hospital.
Nurse, we demand to know how our bestie is doing.
I'm sorry, bro. I told you I don't have the information yet.
Bruh, seriously?
I'm so pressed right now, bro.
Don't be pressed. The doctor will be in shortly, bro. Dead ass.
It's really amazing when you look at the rosters around the NFL. I mean, there's no millennials to be found in the Chiefs, the Vikings, the Packers,
how about
the
that?
Lions.
No, only the Bears. No, Gen Z.
I'm not talking about millennials. I'm talking about Gen Z.
I'm so old, I don't know the difference. I don't really care.
You're millennials.
Tanny, you're an elder millennial.
Elder millennial! Yes, gather around the Snapchat, children. I'll tell you the tale of the landline.
Lawrence, you're a millennial too, right?
No,
you're a boomer.
I'm Gen X.
I'm not a boomer. How dare you?
I'm tired of hearing it from baby boomers, right? Like, their lives were so easy. You could just win a house at a carnival back then. You know what I mean?
No. I'm Gen X. No. Me and Lawrence are both Gen X.
Okay, all right.
Oh, here comes that cannonball guy. He's cool.
Are you being sarcastic, dude?
I don't even know anymore.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
That's right. We got you until 6 o'clock. There is going to be a baseball hour starting at 3:40 today.
Yeah.
There's going to be a baseball hour. Tell your sons, tell your daughters. 3:40, there will be a baseball hour.
I hope those segments will be a perfecto. A perfecto.
John Morosi is going to join us at 4 o'clock. Lance Briggs will join us at 5. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. That man is Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Tanny's here. Shane's here. We got you until 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, starting off with us talking about Caleb Williams and talking about the Bears, but specifically Caleb, because something happened. Like, the four of us were looking around after our conversation with Kurt Warner yesterday, and we think that we have a reasonable mandate that should be applied to the Bears for the rest of the season.
And it only lingered the rest of the show.
Shout out to the Cranberries.
And it grew stronger as it lingered. Do you have to? It did have to linger. It grew stronger as we got towards the end of the show. Because what is the rest of the season for? What are we doing? And it's not like we're asking for a massive change to the offensive game plan necessarily. What we're asking for is a change to what appears to have been the directive to Caleb Williams and appears to be his mindset right now. And he spoke on it a couple of weeks ago when he talked about the end of the game and how Thomas Brown said to him, now go be Superman. And he was. It is time for Caleb to be aggressive the entire game. and stop worrying about what seems to be the risk of the interception and the risk of the dangerous play. And it is honorable what he's done. And in a year where you're trying to win with what was supposed to be a top 10 defense or top 5 defense, in a year where you're going for it in terms of winning, it is honorable. But you are now 4-9. And with that aggression comes a healthier and better brand of NFL quarterback play. So take the opportunity to be more aggressive, Caleb Williams, and thereby ready yourself for what should be the rest of your career.
I like how in the games where we've seen the Bears make comebacks in the second half, in the fourth quarter, and we've gone through, you know, Caleb's fourth quarter numbers, which are exceptional, that what we've seen is almost like a personality change too, where you see him being like fired up about it. And there, maybe they are running more tempo. And I get that in some of those cases, they are running against some friendlier defenses than maybe what you see earlier in a game. I like the way that you put it yesterday, and it's not because this show has money on it. Hey, Caleb, go win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Go ahead, kid.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
We're
do
with
it.
You. And the consequences be damned on the statistical part of it. If you end up throwing a couple of interceptions here or there, take the risk. Play depth finder. Figure out what things you can and you can't get away with on a football field. Because we've seen him in some of the instances where he takes chances. You're like, oh my God. Like, he's got a rifle and he's got touch. And we've seen some of those things play out. But there is a worry with me that he might be playing it too safe. And I get it, because what they were talking about with Matt Eberflus and his whole system, the idea of the hits principle and how valuable takeaways are.
Absolutely.
And it makes all the sense in the world when you look at the statistic. But now that you're not worried necessarily about team success as it pertains to the playoffs, because you're not making the playoffs. If we're going to be real about this, like, we keep talking about everyone who's anyone, everyone that is covering this team, around this team, and even people who are on this team. The most important thing is about developing Caleb Williams. Then we need to take that to its logical conclusion of allow him to go just play.
Go ahead and play, and go ahead and be aggressive, because you look at the great quarterbacks around this league and the high scoring offenses around this league, and those quarterbacks are going for it. They are being aggressive. They're going down the field, and they know that NFL Open is a different thing. They know that they have to trust their wideouts, and they also know they need to get the ball out. They need to get rid of the ball. And of all the sacks that happened on Sunday, at least, what, three of them, four of them, you could argue more, really looked like Caleb Williams holding the ball a long time. And I know there were issues with the patterns and everything like that, but each one is different. Listen to Caleb Williams as he kind of rationalizes the third down sacks as part of the breakdown of his game on Sunday. This is Caleb when asked about the four consecutive third down sacks he took.
The most important thing is first and second down efficiency. I'm not taking sacks on first and second down. When you get the third down, now it's time to, because, you know, if you incomplete, if it's if there's, you know, we're short of the line or anything like that on third down, if we run the ball, if I, you know, take off, we throw, whatever the case may be, you know, taking a sack, you know, it goes into that category. It obviously matters, because now you're going off the field. But, you know, incomplete, you're going off the field. You know, we run the ball in those situations and we don't get it. You know, you go off the field, you take a sack, you go off the field. So in those situations, first and second down, you don't want to take sacks. Third down is now the time to make the play. And we didn't do that today.
So kind of rationalizing the third down sack as part of what clearly has been the mandate and what is clearly his mindset. And I get it. It's honorable.
Every drive with a kick.
But it's time to flip that switch, isn't it?
I agree.
I think it's time to flip that switch.
I think that it's totally okay for him to go out there and is, we keep talking about development. Like, this is part of it too. Like, go play. Go play. Because what we found out, and I don't want to call it backyard football because I find that to be pejorative, but when we've seen him in these stressful late game situations, he has soared as a player. He has shown you the special in those moments.
So what would you call what Mahomes and Kelce did to win that game against the Chargers, not backyard football?
Yeah, but those two guys might be the best that have ever done
that concept of
backyard football.
Okay, but Josh Allen pulling the Bulls back into the Bills back into that game, that 44-42 game, there was bananas stuff in there teasing you with the run and then sometimes doing it, or teasing you with the run and then making a crazy throw and just being aggressive and letting it fly.
But there was a time when he did do that early in his career. You're like, hey man, you need to be playing in a little bit more structure.
I feel like Josh Allen is one of the templates for this entire conversation, because he still will put the ball in harm's way sometime, and the interception numbers will be up there.
He will, but he's also doing a great job in structure. So is Mahomes. Like, both of those guys are outstanding inside of structure, and then you add the element of, oh yeah, I can do crazy bleep too, and they do it, and guess what? We've seen Caleb Williams do some of that stuff where it's like, oh, look at that crazy play that should have never happened. That throw that he makes rolling right that just lands in the bucket. Like stuff like that shouldn't be allowed. I am here for him to go out and just go do it.
I would bet that this conversation is happening in a couple other places.
Washington,
possibly. How about San Diego? How many interceptions does Justin Herbert have?
One, right?
I think the answer is one. And Justin Herbert, every once in a while, could probably stand to go for it a little bit more. He's playing under a very careful eye of Jim Harbaugh, and things are going well, and it's fine. But, you know, you can't live afraid. You can't live afraid as an NFL quarterback.
He said something before Sunday night's game, or at least he had said it to the sideline crew on NBC. He said that he needs, Herbert I'm talking about,
okay,
needs to run a little bit more for this offense to function. That in some of those cases, like, he's waiting to make a throw down the field where he maybe could probably take off a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
And yet and still, this is year one. Like, to me, what's amazing about it is it looks like you're seeing a lesser version of Justin Herbert because the passing numbers aren't there. I would say that the fact that in year one, they are far ahead of where they thought they would be as a team because they gave him a running game, and he's still able in those moments where you need a big throw to make the big throw, I count that as a success.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But there has to be that aggression in the mindset, because they needed a touchdown. Chargers needed a touchdown, and they needed to not leave it there for Kansas City to go win it on a field goal, because that was child's play.
Yeah, because every time you do that to Patrick Mahomes,
it's a loss. Just go ahead and call it a loss.
It's pretty crazy. So look, we're having this conversation, and we want you to be involved in it too, and feel free to text us. But we want you to hear something that you might not have heard yesterday. The whole reason that we're doing this segment, it opened our eyes, and maybe it'll open yours. That's next here on The Score.